Please have a seat. Let's pray together. Father, what a great reminder for us this morning as we enter into this place of worship and we realize the magnitude of your worthiness. God, we sometimes forget how amazing, how beautiful, how worthy, how righteous, how holy, and how set apart you are from us. And we need these reminders. Lord, actually, we need these reminders daily that you are beyond us, that we don't worship something in our image. We were made in your image, and we worship the Creator, the Heavenly Father, the Alpha and the Omega, the God of all creation, the Lord of Lords. And Lord, when we come to you in worship, we are realizing that you are worthy. And we can approach your throne unashamed. Lord, we know that we're unworthy. We know that in the grand scheme of things, we are unable to be in your presence because of our sin, but because of your son, Jesus, and the work that he did on the cross that we will celebrate in 1 week, Lord, we are made new and we can approach your throne. And we can be approaching it in a way that is unashamed. Even though we know our guilt, even though we know our sin, we know our problems, we know our difficulties, we know the things that we have done, we can approach the throne knowing that we have been made righteous by your son's blood that covers us. And God, that is the greatest news of all. Thank you for that reminder today. Thank you that as we think about the grandness of what today is and the celebration of the church calendar and knowing that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, he wasn't just traveling to Jerusalem, he was making a statement. He was declaring his kingdom. And God, I thank you that we get to picture that. We get to read it. We get to understand it. And we get to know that there was a purpose to what Jesus was about, ushering in his kingdom, his will. And so, God, we thank you for that. Lord, this morning I realize that we have burdens that we carry and we offer them to you. We have emotional burdens that are heavy, things that are beyond ourselves that we can't control, like grief, like news that is difficult, and just things that are going on around us that are hard and heavy. And we bring those to you and ask God that you would work. We have physical limitations, physical struggles and difficulties and pains. And God, we ask that you would work in these things as well. And sometimes, God, we have spiritual struggles. We have difficulty breaking into whatever it might be as far as how we are in relationship with you. But sometimes because of hurts and habits and hangups, we're struggling spiritually, and God, we just offer to you ourselves and ask that you would work. For others of us, Lord, the world is crashing down around us. Jobs, family, life itself is just heavy. And we need to hear your voice today, whatever it might be, whatever you want to communicate to us, God, whether it be in worship, in song, in message, in the sermon, in a conversation, God, will you just speak to us? Each of us approaches your throne with a certain amount of brokenness. God, speak healing to our life today. Help us to breathe in your breath and trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. That was mostly awake today. Mostly. Goodness. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Okay, we're getting better. We're moving along. I know what the problem is. The problem is that we all got rushed back to winter on Friday. That's what the problem is, huh? We're in revolt against winter, and we don't want to be excited about anything right now. I don't know. Anyways, glad that you're here today. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's a great day to worship God. It's a wonderful day for us to just be together as a church family. And I am very excited that you are here today. A few things that we just want to remind you about and kind of communicate some things so that you're aware of what's going on. We are going to be having a fifth Sunday lunch in the matter of 2 weeks. Yes, you heard that correctly. We're doing fifth Sunday lunch on the first Sunday of the month, and we're all going to be okay with it, right? Okay. And we're just going to move on. If you have questions of why it's happening, you can ask me. I'll let you know. But we're not worrying about it being on a certain day or not. We're just having lunch, and we don't want to confuse you too much. So fifth Sunday lunch on April 7th. The pattern is that you bring something to share, and then after church, we eat together and fellowship and just have a great time together, and would love for you to be here. Something that you need to know about and we need to celebrate is that this last Wednesday was our Hope Kids family night, and we truly had a really good, fun night. There was some great things going on. We had crafts and activities, and we had kids going throughout the church building hunting Easter eggs, and it was a hoot, and I had a blast, and I hope that the kids did and parents did. I hope you did as well. But one of the things that we're celebrating is that we brought in toothbrushes for Guatemala mission trip this summer. And we brought in 339 toothbrushes to be taken with us down to Guatemala. That is really, really cool. So here's the deal. When we're on the mission trip this summer, we're going to interact with a thing that is called Happy Tummies. Happy Tummies is where children in the community come to a location, and they are offered a lot of cool experiences. But one of the things that they are offered is that they're offered a nice good lunch, so that the kids, because usually it's for families that are... Really, their kids are not getting nutritious meals, and that's what I wanted to say. So this is an opportunity for them to get nutritious meals. They also get to have some tutoring done. They also hear Bible stories, but they also engage in hygiene practices. So they learn to start brushing their teeth daily, because to be quite honest, a lot of the kids, they end up with a lot of cavities and the teeth just get pulled, and it's quite sad. So this way they are learning tools to be able to have practice the proper hygiene. And so that's a really cool opportunity. We're going to give those to the many different, I think there's like 3 or 4 Happy Tummies programs in that part of the region. So we're going to give those to them and let them utilize them for the kids that are going to be a part of their program. So it's really, really cool. If you are interested in helping out with bringing some more toothbrushes, that's up to you. We'll take them, and we'll have a great time donating them that way. Also, just want to remind you that if you are interested in helping out with the garden this summer, at any point in time, I would love to know about it. We are compiling our list of people that are going to be helping out with the garden. If that means just watering once, you're like, I want to water one time during the week, talk to me. I'm compiling a list. I want to know. If you are thinking, you know what, I can go out there and I can pull a weed, just one, let me know. I want to know. Okay, so if it's just one, let me know. If you want to harvest a tomato, just one, I will let you know when that tomato needs to be harvested. So let me know. You, folks, we want to get as many people as possible involved in the garden because it is a big project and we need you. We need each other in order to make it happen. Okay. It can't be down to three or four people that are the ones in charge of the garden. We need everybody. So that's why we're talking about it in March before we've even done anything with the garden. So let me know if you are interested. Call me, text me, email me, catch me in the hallway, do something, let me know. Don't just be that person that says, I'm going to help, but I'm not going to let Pastor Chopper know. Don't be that person, okay? What are we doing? We're letting? Thank you. Thank you. You guys are awesome. We are also doing baptism next Sunday, and we would love it. If you have not been baptized yet and you are a follower of Jesus, I would love to have a conversation with you, and we would love to, as a church, to celebrate you being baptized. So if that is something that you would like to have a conversation with, today is your day. Today's the last day to have a conversation with me about baptism. And so make that happen today. Also, I wanted to let you know that next Saturday, there is going to be it's a party for Kip and Bailey Miller. It is their after party from their wedding in November. And you are invited to come and celebrate Kip and Bailey next Saturday at in between 1 and 4. But if you show up at 1, you'll have proper introductions and all of that. It's going to be a come and go type of thing, I think, kind of come and go, and just come and be present, get to know Bailey a little bit. And if a lot of you know who Kip is, but if you don't, this is an opportunity to get to know him and all the fun of what's going on that day. So if you have any questions, ask Dave or Melody. They're in the middle. They're going to wave their hand so you can see them, and ask them any questions that you might have. Okay, I've talked enough about announcements and things like that, so we're going to go ahead and dismiss kids for Children's Church. So kids, you can meet your leaders in the back and go for your time of Children's Church today. What would it have been like to be there when Jesus rode into Jerusalem? What would it have been like when the disciples were walking alongside Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem? What would it have been like for us to see the people singing and praising and calling out to Jesus? There's something about this story that is just truly amazing. This story carries with it the symbol of great power through humility, because Jesus was not proclaiming anything more than a kingdom that he would lead would not be a conquering kingdom on earth, but it would be a kingdom of heaven that would last for eternity. And as we heard the scripture read to us this morning, I wonder if you placed yourself in the story somewhere. And if you did, where did you place yourself at? Did you place yourself as one of the disciples walking with Jesus? Were you in the crowd that was nearby, or were you far? Were you a distance away? Or maybe you're like, I didn't place myself anywhere in the story. I just listened to you read. That's fine. That's all right. But sometimes we hear a story and we can place ourselves in it. And we can almost feel and smell and experience everything. Jesus, through the Gospel of Luke, in the last, before the chapters 19 and a little bit further back, Jesus was hard-pressed. He had one focus in mind, and that was Jerusalem and the cross. And the buildup to everything that was going on was palpable. And what we can notice from today's scripture and the various cross references of the triumphal entry in the Gospels, because this story is shared across all four of the Gospels, Jesus was fulfilling a particular prophecy about himself. And one in particular was what was said by Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The symbolism of the donkey is a big deal. You see, in this scenario, it was a symbol of peace, not one of authority, not one of power, but peace. And in some research that I did, I discovered that it was considered to be customary that when a pilgrim, when a person traveling to Jerusalem, when they were arriving, if they were riding on an animal, before they got into the city, they would dismount the animal and they would walk. And it was a sign of humble gratitude in coming to the house of the Lord. What we have in Jesus's pilgrimage, if we want to call it that, we can call it that. Jesus, on the other hand, had no animal, but sought out a donkey and rode that donkey all the way into Jerusalem, not dismounting, not walking. He actually makes a very strong statement that he was no ordinary pilgrim coming for a festival, but he was God himself coming to his temple. That's a powerful image. That's a massive image that we have of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, not with typical fashion, but with one that is declaring his kingdom. Have you ever thought of a few people from Scripture that you might want to have a conversation with? You know, sit down, have a cup of coffee, chat a little bit, ask them a few questions, and move right along. Maybe it's Adam, and you. The question that you really want to know is, Adam, did you have a belly button or not? Or maybe you wanted to ask David, what did you think when you saw Goliath coming at you? Or maybe you thought of Jonah and you're thinking, Jonah, why did you get thrown off the boat? And do fish stink as bad inside as they do on the outside? Or maybe you want to ask Paul the question of, okay, how uncomfortable was it being let down the wall of Damascus in a bucket? That's got to be uncomfortable. Or maybe you are thinking about Moses. What made you go up to the burning bush? I don't know. There's a lot of conversations that we could have with people in Scripture, and I've had those thoughts before, and the easy one for us to always say is, I would want to have a conversation with Jesus. Well, of course we do, but what about somebody else? But there might be someone that we might not think about as having a conversation with. For most of us, the owner of the donkey that Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he might not even make the list. If he did make the list, he would be really far down our list of conversations to have. I mean, you can only have so much coffee, right? But if we did have a conversation with this man, what would be a question that we would ask? I find myself drawn to this man. My guess is that he was just a simple man trying to make his way in the world and really just trying to make his life what it was supposed to be. We don't know much about this fella. In fact, we know very little. So why is it important? I think I find myself drawn to him because I could be him. You could be him. Really, when we think about it, we are people that are just trying to make it in the world. We're trying to just cover our bases, do what we're supposed to do, and live from day to day and work with the things that we have and just kind of go about our lives and make do with what we have been given. And the more that I think about it, this donkey is a pretty important symbol in the story. Not just in the triumphal entry, but in God's great story, because the donkey represents a symbol that is greater than just an animal, and there's something that we can learn here. If we thought hard about it, we could have a few questions for the owner ahead of time and just wonder what was going on. So if we had conversation with this guy, we might say, did Jesus talk to you beforehand about the need for your donkey? Or when the disciples just showed up, did they just take the donkey without you really knowing what was going on? And if that's how it all went down, how did it make you feel? And were you afraid that you would never see your donkey again? That might be some of the questions that we would have. Now, this one might be a little bit less trivial in our questioning. But what was it like to find out that your donkey carried on it Jesus? Not any ordinary person, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That question is a big question, isn't it? Was it difficult to let Jesus take your donkey? I mean, think about it. You and I, we all have certain possessions, don't we? And if we give up some of our possessions, we kind of are a little bit wondering what's going on. What do we do when we are asked to give up something that we own? It might be hard for us. In the context of the story, the donkey is a beast of burden. It does work for its owner, and kind of out of the blue, here comes these disciples, and they take this donkey to Jesus. And it's possible that this man never met Jesus before. Maybe he heard about him, but the story doesn't really tell us what was going on. But there are some clues that give us a little bit of leverage in our discussion about the importance of this event that takes place. You see, the response that the disciples give when questioned about the donkey, about untying and taking the donkey, was along these lines. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them. Now, having a little bit of help, when we look at the original language, we can study that. I need help because I don't have a full grasp on Greek. But what Jesus is saying is more along the lines of this phrase of the Lord of it is in need. That's what is being communicated to the owner of the donkey. It is saying the Lord of it, that is Jesus, is in need. Jesus is using what is called a royal levy in this situation. It was an ancient law which required the citizens to render to the king any item he or his emissaries might request. The language implies that Jesus was proclaiming himself as king by requesting the animal in the way that he did. So could it be that the donkey owner was just simply doing what he was commanded? Was he simply being obedient? Did he understand the gravity of the situation? And instead of arguing and making a big deal of it, he simply just let the disciples take the animal and go. Could that be what he was thinking about in this situation? And then what makes me really wonder is, did the donkey ever come back? Did he ever get to use that donkey again? It gets me thinking. My mind begins to run. And maybe yours does as well. Maybe your mind doesn't work like mine. That is, I'm fascinated by little things that make my mind wander and go down seven rabbit trails and come back. But if I place myself in the sandals of the donkey owner, what would I do? What would you do? If you put yourself in his place, in his situation, in his life, and the disciples come to you and say, "The Lord needs that donkey." Do you put up a fight or do you let it go? Actually, this is what I think is this, is that Jesus does this in our lives as well. He's not asking each person that he encounters for a donkey, not at all. But I think that Jesus does ask of us to use things that we can, and we can either agree or not. In this situation, the owner of the donkey was being asked to agree to give up something of his own for the benefit of Jesus. And I think this is the scenario that we have in our lives, that Jesus has been asking us all along of the things that we have that can help his mission continue on. It happens in Scripture all the time. Think about it for just a moment. Zacchaeus, he opens up his home not even in an asking kind of way. He just opens up his home and invites all of his friends who are tax collectors and people who were very far from God. And he invites them to come and see what is going on, that this guy Jesus would actually want to see me. And he opens up his home and Jesus comes in and he has dinner with a bunch of people that are far from God. He uses his home. And another story, it's a horn and a torch that Gideon in the Old Testament had that God would use to lead people to victory. It was something that he had, a horn and a torch, and God would use it for a great victory. In David's life, it was a sling that would slay a giant. In Daniel's life, it was trust that God would lead him through the mouths of hungry lions. In Moses' life, it was a staff that God would use to part the Red Sea. In another story, it was Rahab that had a rope that was scarlet, that was red, that would be used to save the spies and her family. We talked about it just a little bit ago, but it was a bucket that was used that let Paul down from a wall of Damascus. There's also a jar of perfume that would be poured over Jesus at just the right time. Each of these things in and of themselves are simple. They are simple things that are used by God for his glory, for a time to change something or to do something. They are utilized for God, God's purposes, to get the message of God, the story of God, the mission of God further down the line, just like a donkey is used to usher Jesus into Jerusalem. They serve very much the same way the donkey did. And Max Lucado puts it this way. He says, all of us have a donkey. You and I each have something in our lives which, if given back to God, could, like the donkey, move Jesus and his story further down the road. So what about you? Have you ever been asked to give up something, something that you own, something that you possess for the sake of and for the use of Jesus? That sounds easy, doesn't it? When we think about something that we have for the use of Jesus, but it's actually kind of hard sometimes. Because we all want to be asked. We all want to be utilized. We all want to be asked to do something. But the first thing that pops in our heads is we wonder what Jesus might ask of us. Well, what if it's that thing? You know, that one thing that we hold on to tightly with all 10 fingers? What is that thing? In the words of Lucado, each of us has a donkey to be utilized, a possession that can be leveraged, a gift that can be enhanced, an item that can be used by Jesus for his mission to continue on. So what's your donkey? That sounds really funny, doesn't it? What is your donkey? Could it be things that we enjoy doing? Things that we like. What do I mean by that? Maybe it's something that you really enjoy doing that can be leveraged for the benefit of the kingdom, but you just never really saw as being leveraged for the kingdom. What is something that you really enjoy doing? Maybe you really enjoy working with your hands. You are mechanically inclined. You are you're building inclined. I don't even constructionally inclined. I'm just making up words now. But what do you like to do? Do you like to garden? Do you like to clean? Do you like to do things such as like create crafts? Do you like to do yard work? Do you like to play or listen to music? Do you like to engage in sports? Do you like to talk to people? That's pretty amazing. Do you like working with kids? Do you like to spend time in conversation with people? Each of these things, when leveraged for the right purposes, can be utilized by God to be loaded up like a donkey and help the message of Jesus get further on down the road. How? Sometimes we just got to let him use it. Sometimes we got to be willing to say, you know what, God, however you want to use this gift that I have, use it, and I'll follow where you go, where you take me. So that it can be leveraged for the kingdom. How many conversations, how many ways that we can serve God by just letting him utilize the things that we like to do? What is the thing that you like to do that is going to be used by God? For the owner, it was a donkey. You know, it sounds trivial, And I know it does. I know that each of these things that I'm going to talk about, the things that we enjoy doing, let's go back one, we're one ahead there. Things that we enjoy doing, we think of it as ours instead of being used by God. Even in my own life, I enjoy lots of things. One thing that I really enjoy now is I like to referee soccer. That's weird. Who enjoys being the person on the field that is blowing the whistle and is the bad guy on the referee on the soccer field? Me and Lucas. Although, he enjoys it some days. But how can that be leveraged for the gospel? I'm around people. I get to have conversations. I get to talk about things. How are the things that we are a part of can be utilized and leveraged for the gospel? Maybe you've never thought about the gift that you have that is, I don't mind working on cars. I don't mind working on big projects, building things. I don't mind getting my hands dirty or doing something. Those things can be utilized for God's kingdom, not just here, not just right around here, but for other things that God can utilize, and we can make it happen. We just need to know, as a community, as a group of people, how God can use it. So let's figure that out together. Let's move on to the next one, our thoughts. Each day you and I have, this is more about the things that we think. We have different thoughts about a wide range of topics and ideas. We vary on the things that we feel are important and things that could be considered, could be kind of frivolous, but if we spend some time with younger kids, we'll discover that what we think of is important in our lives might mean nothing to them, but what they think is important matters to them greatly. So how can we utilize our brains to think to impact others? What I'm getting at is that it brings to the question of what we value and how we think about it. What we value is drastically different than what somebody else values, than what kids value, what other people value. But maybe the way that we think about something can be communicated in such a way that challenges other people to think differently. What am I getting at? I'm getting at that we need to not just think and get wrapped up in right thinking for wrong reasons. That's part of what I'm getting at. What I'm also getting at is that sometimes the way that we think doesn't always have to come out in every conversation that we have. Sometimes the way that we think is very offensive to other people that we have conversations with. So sometimes we need to pull it back a little bit to maintain friendships for the sake of letting the conversation grow. So there are times and there are people all around us that the way that we can communicate about specific subjects can help others think clearly about subjects. Okay? Maybe I am a person that can clearly convey theological points in a way that people understand. I hope that I can do that because that's kind of my job. But if I can clearly convey a message to people in a way that makes sense, hopefully I'm communicating that way. And if you can communicate a message to people that makes sense, communicate that message. Don't hold yourself back from what's going on, but be willing to share. And so what I'm really trying to communicate is, and I realize that this is kind of messy, Soapboxes don't get us anywhere, but relationship allows us to communicate in ways that make sense. So a way to think about this is that maybe you've been given the gift of explanation. Take that gift, use it in difficult subjects so that people can understand what you're communicating. And if you have questions about this one, I will gladly converse with you because I feel like this is just right now. Possessions, the things that we possess. There are things that you have in your possession that you might be asked to be utilized for God's kingdom. When we think of it this way, when we think of the things that we have, and if we utilize them for kingdom purposes, they will not be ours any longer. So what is it that you have that can be utilized for the kingdom? Do you have tools that can be utilized for the kingdom of God? Not to necessarily be just tossed about, but how can you utilize those tools to build kingdom principles, build relationship, build community? What if we had a number of people that had the mindset and the knowledge to be able to change the oil for hundreds of single parent families? Because we just had the tools and the knowledge to be able to do it. No charge, but right out there, we just let people know that, hey, we have an opportunity to bless single parent families with an oil change. At one point in time, I knew how to do that. I probably could learn again, but how hard would that be? That would be an easy thing. We would need the tools, right? Something that I don't have. But if we have things within our possession to be utilized for the kingdom, to be a blessing, how awesome would that be? One thing that I had years ago that was a huge blessing, and I still have one today, is a grill. When Andrea and I lived in Kentucky, we were backdoor neighbors to friends of ours. We were next door neighbors to friends of ours, and we were neighbors. This was a tiny community with a lot of seminary people because that's what we were doing. So we had all these tiny little homes that were like one room duplexes. We could get across the room faster than we can exit the sanctuary. That's how tiny these places were. But we had a grill. We didn't have a lot of money for some T-bones, but we had hot dogs and hamburgers, and nobody else had a grill. So guess whose grill was being utilized to build community? And I loved every minute of it because we got to be in community with people. That's kind of what I'm talking about, is the things that we have, the possessions that we have that can be utilized by God for his kingdom purposes. Now, what did that do for us? Man, that built a ton of friendships that lasted and continue to last. But can you imagine utilizing the things that you possess for God's kingdom purposes? What might those things be? The big picture in all of this is, what could the ripple effect be of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, working through us? What would be the ripple effect of Jesus working through you, through the things that you possess, the things that you think, and the things that you can do and enjoy doing? What might the ripple effect be? Max Lucado tells a story, and this is how we'll close. A 19th century Sunday school teacher who led a Boston shoe clerk to Christ. The teacher you might have probably heard of, his name probably never heard of, his name was Kimball. But the shoe clerk was named Dwight Moody. Moody became an evangelist and had a major influence on a young preacher named Frederick B. Meyer. Meyer began to preach on college campuses, and while doing so, he converted J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman became involved in the YMCA and arranged for a former baseball player named Billy Sunday to come to Charlotte, North Carolina for a revival. A group of Charlotte community leaders were so enthusiastic afterward, they planned another campaign and brought Mordecai Ham to preach. In that revival, a young man named Billy Graham yielded his life to Christ. Now, did the Boston school teacher have any idea what would happen of his conversation with the shoe salesman? Not one bit. He, like the owner of the donkey, had a chance to help Jesus in his journey, so he did. So what's the ripple effect going to be in your life? The ripple effect can take the full length of a lake. And the owner of the donkey had no idea the impact of his obedience, but it was recorded in all four Gospels. And we're still talking about it today. Maybe in an indirect manner, but we know and understand his faithfulness and his willingness. What's the ripple effect going to be in your life when you let the things that you have be utilized like the donkey owner? The ripple effect in your life can take the full length of the lake. The question is, will we let God use these things in our lives? Or will we hold on to them and not let Jesus use them? I believe God wants to use your donkey for his kingdom. Let's let him move it down the road. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the work that you do in our lives and the way that you love us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And God, I pray that we will utilize the gifts that we have, the abilities that we have, the things that we possess for your kingdom purposes. Even slight changes in our mindset, God, can have a ripple effect. And I pray that we would allow it to happen. I pray out of obedience, God, that we wouldn't hold back from letting you work. Because, God, I believe that you want to ask of us. And I pray that we would say yes, whatever it might be. But God, help us in humility to not use it in a showy way, but in a way that just knows that, God, you're going to use our lives for your glory, and we just want to be along for the ride. So thank you, God, for what you're doing. And we give you praise that at this day that we remember that your son Jesus was making a grand entrance into Jerusalem for a purpose of declaring an eternal kingdom. We pray all these things in your son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for being in worship with us today. As you exit today, feel free to, we have some items that are on the table for the youth bake sale. And it is a free will offering, free will donation for the youth and their bake sale. So thank you so much for your generosity in doing so and purchasing items. So thanks for doing that in advance. And let's stand and we'll close together in singing.